This is Description, episode 61, for November 15th, 2008, with material recorded October 5th.
Welcome to Description, Valerie in Toronto. Hiya, I'm Valerie, and yep, I'm still in Toronto, in the apartment and all the things that would ensue from that, and I'm back in the squeaky chair. Yay! It's been a long time since I've been in the squeaky chair, so whatever, here I am. As if that wasn't exciting enough, there's more. You may remember me talking about Nuit Blanche. This annual thing that happens in Toronto that is, you know, from sunset to sunrise. Yeah. A bunch of locations, dozens of locations all over Toronto where contemporary art things occur. And go to the other two episodes I've done about it for any more explanation about it. So, this year, I went to Nuit Blanche, as per usual. It's the third one. Sorry. And I recorded, you know, the whole trudge, as I've been doing. But this time, as far as putting in a podcast, I wanted to focus on one location. And that location happens to be the ROM, the Royal Ontario Museum. Now, I've talked about the ROM a whole lot, probably, over the course of this podcast series, because it's not far away from me, and I walk by it all the time, and would always pass by as the Michael Lee Chin crystal was being constructed, and then finally opened in this elaborate grand opening with all kinds of bells and whistles in the summer of 2007. But since then, I hadn't actually gone into the ROM. I'd been in the ROM before. Took the parents there once, as you do when you live here. But I hadn't been in since the Crystal opened up. I hadn't even been in the store, and you can pretty much just go into the store. But I hadn't happened to have done that. Well, there was going to be a Nuit Blanche thing this year inside the Crystal. Usually it's outside or on the Crystal or whatever. But this time it was inside, and so I decided I'd go in for that. But while I was there, I found out that, I did know that earlier that evening, the ROM was the location for the Sobey Art Awards. Sobey, a grocery store near and dear to my heart, takes me back to working in Barrie. And but they sponsor this annual awards thing that, you know, has a long list and then a short list. And then there are, you know, kids who are on the short list from different regions of Canada. And then they pick a winner and that person gets $50,000. Nice. But it's for young contemporary Canadian artists. Or is that young Canadian contemporary artists? That's right. And I also like the fact they classify as young 40 and under, I think it is. I can appreciate that definition of young. And, well, they had the award ceremony at the ROM earlier, but what I hadn't known was that even as late as I showed up, which is like 3 in the morning or something, they still had the exhibits of those kids still going and open to the public and stuff. So awesome. So that's what the sound seeing tour is, basically. It's me at Nuit Blanche, at the ROM.
Okay, I guess we're going in. Let's see if there's some, if there's the sign says anything useful. Well, evidently we've missed the Royal Dance Party, which has shows at 9, 10, 11, and midnight. I think that makes us a little late. So let's see if we can go in here. They're hurting us to go through the correct door, left door.
Really?
Wee-hee, we're in the ROM. Wow. So over on the right is the museum store.
store that I think you can go in all the time. And it's a museum store, you know. And over here, where it says Spirit House, there's this little section here that I think a lot of people are using just to sit the frick down in these metal chairs that kind of look like origami. I'm probably gonna wish I was doing this right now. And in this room, there is this glowy LED 3D looking mural composite portrait of the founders of this section. I recognize Hillary Weston and Michael E. Chin. In other words, the folks who put up the big money to have this happen. Past these. Oh, wait. I'll go this way. This is closer to the connection between the crystal and the old moon.
I'm going to send it out of space.
There are a fair amount of people here. Oh, okay. Here's what I came to see, I guess. There's a projection here. Now, the Rom-Rom, someday I'll do an episode on this, but the Rom-Rom, the Royal Ontario Museum, has been around for a really long time. And the building looks it. Always a very great, wonderful, stately building with interesting architecture in it. And, but where it meets the crystal, like where I'm standing or leaning on a wall right now, on the right side is brick, some stained glass a little bit. And it's the kind of an entrance to, I remember special exhibitions being in that section. I remember there was an exhibition on Art Deco a couple years ago that there was this big long line and we all went through like we were all herded through, like kind of like we were going to Pirates of the Caribbean. The ride, not the movie. And anyway, on this, oh, okay, this is what Nuit Blanche is like. I was just going to describe the light projection that I saw on this one wall to my left, and then I noticed it was a guy who was facing the wall I was leaning on with a camera taking a picture. And so I went, wait a minute. So I look up over my right shoulder, and there's another one. There's another projection. Okay. And obviously there's a DJ. That DJ, okay, let me see if I can get my bearings here. No, I'm gonna stay here behind this wall. The projection, okay, we're the old building meets the new building. All right. So I was saying brick, whatever, right side of me, right, okay? On, at the center and to my left, which is where I came in, above the entry to the main elevators and to the quote-unquote stair of wonders, don't ask me, I don't know, might be what they had at the Rom before. They had a kind of a spirally staircase like they just had at the Nevada, and in the center of it was a gigantic totem pole. I wonder if that's what they're talking about. I don't know. Anyway, above all that is this great white wall with a couple breaks in it for different floors, and there is this light projection going on right now. This animation, slow animation. On the far right, it's kind of kaleidoscopy, but it's all, I was just about to say white, and then the light changed to yellow and to red. But a unified color, it's not all different colors. And taking up the rest of the space is this very slow animation that is some kind of kaleidoscope and if you were turning a crystal prism very slowly. And so you have different colors going through that, most of them being blue and yellow, orange. And to the far left of me, at the left side of that large wall, is a balcony, white balcony, to the second of the second floor, and that is where the DJ is playing. Okay, we got all ahead. Now, moving to my right, I'm going to go along to my right, and it turns out that over my shoulder, behind the information desk, rather a long information desk, which also has the computers that seem to be controlling this whole thing. Two laptops, fancy, I think they're Apples, and there are computer things happening, and I think they have control of those projections, including the one that is projecting on the also very large wall, white wall, above the information desk, which is what the guy was taking a picture of over my right shoulder. So I will continue to follow my right shoulder and walk along the information desk toward a room that is labeled restaurants. So I don't know if there's something actually here, but at the very least it's someplace that I can go take pics. So it's all good. Ooh, I know one thing it is. It's a stairwell. Make me tired. Okay, so there's actually a thing going on here. I am weak. Anyway. Okay, first off, there's a table of identification cards. Different people's names. Like Hilda M. Rowland, Janet E. Rivington, and Talman G. Robertson, and Marcel J. Rouleau. And they have like surnames, given names, address, business or occupation, give description to identify, age, height, approximate weight, color of hair, color of eyes, general description, and date. And so there are a couple dozen of these lining the top of this one wall. On another wall, there are photos of people taking Polaroids of other people who are wearing paper or papier-mâché masks. And here are the Polaroids of them lining another table. the people are wearing just masks made of paper or paper mache with eyes drawn in and the mouth drawn in. And they're Polaroids. They're, you know, one-step cameras. Oops, sorry. I'm turning around again to something on a monitor about the same thing. And there are headphones. So I'm going to pick them up and pick them, give them to the microphone, see what they say. Hang on. Okay. Monitor is showing a person with a paper mask rolling on black, brown paint onto the paper mask, and a brown woman, the real one, seems to be assisting her. There's a description here. Raphael de Groot is the artist, it would seem. It's called casting, installation. This is all an installation. ID cards, Polaroid pictures, digital prints, video, sound, display, furniture. That's the description. Moving on to the left. Part of the same installation. In this one, the monitors are showing video. Three small monitors are showing video of the mask becoming more elaborate. One person with stapling incredibly large pieces of paper to her head. Another with a person putting together a mask of all sorts of different colored, folded construction paper. And another of a person with a more conventional paper mask, as I just described, and kind of continually going over it in pencil. Oh, this is done by Raphael de Groot of Quebec. He is one of our winners. I think we're moving on to another one now. Tim Lee. A couple photographs. Tim Lee lives and works in Vancouver, British Columbia, working with photography, video, text, and sculpture. Lee's work both replicates and reimagines seminal moments in art history and popular culture. With sources that range from Johann Sebastian Bach, Steve Martin, Dan Graham, Public Enemy, Laszlo Mihalyi-Nagy, and Ted Williams, Lee suggestively interpolates himself with the history of his subjects by loosely reconstructing specific works associated with their creators, and in so doing complicates our knowledge of these histories while mapping out an extended timeline that travels from the historical past to the imagined future. Alrighty. One photograph, well played with photograph, of a guy playing a guitar, and in both of them, one acoustic, one electric, and both. He appears, it's shot from above, and he appears to be sitting, yet his shadow shows him to be standing, and it's called My My Hey Hey, Out of the Blue, Hey Hey My My Into the Black, Neil Young, 1979. There's another thing in a case that has on one side a book, that talks about Johann Sebastian Bach and Glenn Gould, Canadian, best known for playing Bach's Goldberg Variations. And on the other side of the box are what appear to be vinyl 45 RPM, well, I think, singles of those same pieces. Well, not necessarily, because it says performance for two record players, piano, trip. Okay. One single is for the piano left hand, and the other is for the piano right hand for 2 minutes and 58 seconds of the Goldberg Variations. Ah, got it. It's another one, also two photographs of a guy playing guitar, but one is of the top half of him and one is of the bottom half of him. Oops, and I just walked in front of a guy taking pictures, sorry. That one's called Untitled of Neil Young, 1968. I think he's adopting the stances, some of the stances that Neil Young takes. And this time I'm about to sit in front of two monitors on two boxy shelves. And indeed, one is of a left hand playing piano and one is of a right hand playing piano. And I would guess that that would be the same Goldberg Variations piece that is supposed to be on the vinyl. I should probably shut up. I can pretty well tell you those aren't Glenn Gould's hands. Another is probably the piece that's being played. It's sheet music, an aria. And my German friend can tell me what this says, but it's in German, and he's not here. Walking on. To another piece.
We triple double dare do something.
Gotta run around the ballpoint.
That is. This one is dominated by a great large sphere that's taller than me. That if the outside appears as if it was made of paper mache, but it probably isn't. It's like that's my only media that I'm thinking of right now. In front of it are two glass shelves. Enclosed glass shelves, which have smaller figures that appear to be made of the same thing, but are made to seem like they're fossils, bones, and such. No photography, it says. This is by Terence Coe. Oh, I think it's the winners are regional, and this one's for Ontario. I think I've made it to the side of the building. Okay. Next one are instant paintings. Mario Doucet, the Atlantic region from Moncton. Has worked professionally since 1998 in various mediums and genres, including drawing, painting, videos, and Super 8 film. Blah, 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 blah. For paintings. And they're... Okay, there are artsy people who would know better than me. But they appear to be kind of naive. It appears to be different Canadian scenes, I think. They're kind of naive and have pieces of pencil figures in them as well. One of a river in a forest, one of British soldiers shooting angels in a forest, one of a nude woman looking out over water, sitting on a bench next to a cross, one of appears to be the British attack of a settlement in Moncton. There you go. One of next to a settlement, British soldiers curling on a lake, a pond, When I say curling, that means curling the sport. Another one of the nude woman, who is called Evangeline. One of what appears to be Spanish conquistadors in Mexico, and one that appears to be sometime during the Crusades. In fact, it says La Croisade de Amérindienne en Europe 4. Crossing over, and two more places to sit. And another winner, Daniel Barrow, in the prairies in the north section. Winnipeg artist Daniel Barrow uses obsolete technologies to present written, pictorial, and cinematic narratives centering on the practices of art making and collecting. And since 1993, he has created and adapted comic book narratives to, quote, manual, end quote, forms of animation by projecting, layering, and manipulating drawings on overhead projectors. He variously refers to his practice as graphic performance or manual animation.
No, come watch us.
And so, in front of this bench I'm about to sit on is a television, not a monitor, a television. Depicting various artworks over each other. One looks like it's they're trying to evoke a baby being caught in the beam of a flying saucer. And here comes another one of a house, somebody in front of it. Oh, I really can't do this. It is comic booky in style. Let me pick up the headphones and see what it says. So it's one or two transparent kind of thick images that are set over non-transparent images to have some sort of a relationship between the two. And the title is called Every Time I See Your Picture, I Cry. That's an old song by Luba. Includes a much larger video projection that covers a whole wall about 20 feet square, which is why I'm whispering now, and I'm far in the back of this room because other people are watching this. It's of similar ideas. Comic book sort of images, at least in style, not really in content, and other images being projected or sat or moved on top of them. Hope I'm going to be able to have links to this. On either side of the room, on the side walls, there are, I'm going to guess that there are going to be frames. Oh, on top of the projection, now it says together in as much as we both are able in computer type. And then a mushroom cloud. Either side, well, on one side, there's the video that's powering this. I was always sure that with years of my hard work and love, on top and bottom of the screen, you would emerge as a beautiful and independent young woman. And there's a 1C in the middle of it. But today, I'm really worried about you. You're so frail and small. Moved to 1D. Your face has had that same frozen expression for decades. Staring back blankly as if you see nothing. These words are on the top and bottom of the smaller screen. It's hard to even know if you're a boy or a girl. Because all of your hair has been pulled out. While the rest of the world turns away and shudders, I'm here to intervene and bring an end to your suffering. My perspective will always be different. Dot, dot, dot. Moving to 1E now, in the center. Because I do always love very deeply. All of my life, even as a young girl, I've struggled to love. The normal amount. And distinguish between private worries and the pain of the world. In a sense, I could be termed a martyr of love. 1F is now in the middle of the screen. It's never taken a war or a personal crisis to put me in touch with my emotions. Period. 2A. I have consistently triumphed over enemies and obstacles. Even in times of hopelessness, I've followed my muses, dot, dot, dot. Oh, I think there's a guy on the other screen who's reading the same thing and transmitted love and good energy. I'm going to find out if this guy's saying the same thing. Another television, there's a man, and I don't know where he is. He's not the person at the back of the room, who seems to be watching the same thing that I was just watching and reading the same thing that I was reading. And I don't know where they are. I think I'm going to find out. And sure enough, on the other wall are prints of individual backgrounds, I think, of what's going on the larger screen. There are different people who are reading me, so I gotta wonder if that's going on in another room here. So I'm gonna see if I can find out. I don't think so. I don't think I can find out. All right, then. So I think that's it. Let's go up the side. Oh. And the side is actually the stairwell that I was telling you about earlier, if I kept that part and didn't edit it out, of the main stairwell, what was previously, I guess, may still be the main stairwell of the ROM, which in the center of it has this very incredibly large totem pole that I am only looking over the top of now and will now go down around it. Oh, I'm sorry, there are two totem poles, I'm sorry. One of them is higher than me and goes to the very top, which is only one floor. I'm pretty much at the top floor. Not surprised, I had to go up all those fucking stairs. Okay, so I'm going down the taller totem pole now. Yeah, this is the old ROM. I've been in this part before.
myself and it's in charge.
Hope we can leave through here. So looking out over that balcony, which I can't because there's a rope, is the main rotunda lobby of the Oh, there are four totem poles in the adjacent stairwell, as the sign says. Thank you. Just continuing to go down the stairs. Now. Okay, so if I was to continue going where I'm facing now, I would be going through what was the main rotunda thing of the ROM, because this used to be the main entrance of the ROM, but now I guess it isn't. It's closed now anyway for something. And so now I turn around directly behind me and head into what was the main exhibition hall, and so, but that is cordoned off by some big curtain thing. So I'm moving to my right, and I will be back where I started in the crystal, as you can tell by the music. By the way, one thing worth noting: the crystal is known for being where the dinosaurs are. We're not really going into the guts of the crystal right now. But I can tell you that above me, on either side, above the DJ booth and on that second balcony, are the bones of what appears to be a pterodactyl hanging in midair. Some guy in front of me is doing push-ups on the floor. I'm walking past where you get tickets now. This long counter. Coat check over to my right. And now we get to leave. I'm tired just with that. But wait, there's more.
Go, go. What's this?
Oh, it's the
Ruby Rotunda.
And that'll do it for another edition of Description. Now, the winner of the Sobey Art Award this year was, I think his name is Tim Lee. That would be the guy who did the Goldberg Variations thing with like a monitor on each hand playing and the two 45s, a piece of vinyl on each hand doing Goldberg Variations and those photos of adopting the stance of Neil Young, that music thing. Yeah, he's the one who won. So congratulations to him. And of course, everybody who got in on that, because I think that's a pretty damn good program. It was quite an interesting part of Nuit Blanche. And of course, every year Nuit Blanche happens. This year it was later than it usually is. So check when it happens next year and get into it, because it's a really neat thing. The blog is descriptiontoronto.com. You can get all kinds of links about this episode and other episodes and other things I may feel like writing. The email is descriptionto@gmail.com. Say what you will. And speaking of saying what you will, I have a comment line going on as I'm recording this now. Yeah, a comment line. So it's for contributions to the next episode, Description 61, which celebrates my 10-year anniversary of Canadian citizenship. Woohoo! And so I'm going to do a show about that, basically. And I'm looking for
your congratulations, of course, but your comments, your experiences, your memories, your whatever about Canadian citizenship. The Canadian citizenship you may have always had, the Canadian citizenship you've never had, the Canadian citizenship you've recently gotten, or that you're in the process of getting, or just thoughts in general about Canada, what Canada means to you, and what citizenship means to you, okay? So the number, you ready for the number? Okay. It's, well, you've got pause, so... The number is area code 206-376-1528. Okay? Now, that's a K7 number. It's a Seattle, Washington number. So, long-distance charges may apply. Well, forget may. They will. Unless you use Skype. So, looking forward to hearing from you. If, of course, you're listening to this before mid-December. I will leave you with how my Nuit Blanche night started this year, and that was at the Tap. I decided that I was going to go to the Tap and hang out with the people I hang out with at the Tap, and I would stay there until last call, and then leave at closing time, and then go off into my Nuit Blanche experience. Well, what you're going to hear here is the beginning of my recording at the Tap as it was closing. Now, Mo was not there. He's usually DJing every Saturday night. He was off doing super producer work in London, Ontario at the time. So in his place was his old drummer and friend and the guy who runs the Tap, pretty much, Dave Gilby, who was the drummer for The Pursuit of Happiness. And he was doing his thing. And, well, as he was closing things up, you know, you want to do shit that gets people to leave. So he was screwing around with his new iPhone. A night or two before what you're going to hear, he visited the App Store for the first time. Yeah, I know. He went down a fucking rabbit hole. And so in the midst of his hangover, he was trying to figure out what the fuck he had just downloaded last night when he was drunk. So he was screwing around with, you know, the beer app and the, and you'll hear him, you know, messing with the, one of the music apps that he'd gotten. And as I start recording, he had just finished screwing around with the lightsaber app. And to clear people out, I was saying he was trying to clear people out of the Tap, he connected his iPhone to the speaker system in the bar. So he just finished going all did it was blasting all over the fucking bar. So that was succeeding in clearing people out. So this is a little something, not much, from being at the Tap before going out to Nuit Blanche. Thank you so much. I moved with emphasis and started knocking the squeaky chair against the table that knocked against whatever. Thank you for downloading and for listening. Thanks very much. And take care.
Okay.
That's like the greatest soundtrack
ever. I want to buy one just for that.
Just for that. Yeah.
This is why
I would.
Come here, hook it up. Every time you guys come to the bar, I'll be here in my bathroom. Anybody got a problem? Chewbacca, R2-D2, C3PO, are they on there?
Can you the drunk sounds are bad, actually.
I don't know. I downloaded it last night drunk.
they're synthetic, but they're not that bad.
Yeah, exactly.
I've heard worse drunk sounds. There you go.
Is this kid, you just touched something?